This episode is brought to you by the 4inkjets.com coupon code SIGLER. That's the number 4inkjets.com and the coupon code SIGLER, which saves you 10% off of any order and gets you free shipping for orders over $50. Do you own a printer? Does your work own printers? Do you have a small, medium-sized, or even an enterprise-sized business or a home office? Then you've got to go check out 4inkjets.com. They carry a full line of printer inkjet cartridges, refill kits, laser toner, fax toner, and countless other printer supplies for virtually every inkjet or laser printer on the planet. And they offer a 1-year, 100% quality and satisfaction guarantee on all laser toner supplies, refill kits, and even remanufactured and compatible inkjet cartridges. Save money, get it shipped right to your door from 4inkjets.com with the coupon code SIGLER. That's SIGLER. Write that down and email it to all of your friends with printers so that they can save money too. And now on with our story.
Welcome to Tuesday Terror, an anthology of stories written by junkies and based in the Siglerverse. This podcast is for mature audiences only. It contains foul language, adult situations, and prolific graphic violence. If you're easily offended, you should not listen any further. Welcome back to Tuesday Terror, the fan-created anthology based in the Siglerverse. In episode number 8, I proudly present Perry Dossey, Are You Okay? Written by Ogre Oregon. Edited and produced by Ariok Morningstar. This story is written tangential to Scott's Infected novel. While there is no actual spoiler content in this tale, there are many allusions to things that do happen in the novel. You will likely miss much of the humor if you haven't read the book. In Infected, alien parasites rained down upon the human populace and frequently caused the infected to behave in a violently psychotic manner. Perry Dossey is one of those who the parasites contaminate. Please stay tuned after the show for an announcement about the show and to hear Mer Lafferty's new promo for I Should Be Writing. If you're a writer and you haven't already checked out this cast, you owe it to yourself to do so. Don't forget, if you have an inkjet printer, or your office uses inkjet and or toner supplies, use the code SIGLER at 4inkjets.com and save 10%. That's the code SIGLER at the website numeral 4inkjets.com. Please share that code with friends and family. It's how we're able to keep this feed free. Now, without further ado, I present today's Tuesday Terror Tale. Perry Dossey, Are You Okay? Part 1 of 2 by original junkie Ogre Oregon. It all started when the following note was discovered. No one's quite sure how this situation will end.
Dear friend, I don't mean to be a busybody, but that nice young man, Perry Dossey, hasn't seemed to be himself lately. I used to babysit for him when he was a little guy, and he's kind of watched out for me as he grew up. He is such a dear. But lately, when I've stopped by to visit, he won't open the door, and I hear strange noises in there. I am worried. The only thing I really want to know is why he wanted me to bring him my extra pair of chicken scissors. He sounded so desperate and worried about something. I know you live next door. Would you please stop by and just see what is going on? When you get there, tell him that I was asking about him and to please stop by and see me. Also, please ask him to bring me my chicken scissors with him. Let me know what happens. Write me as soon as you visit him. Thank you for your help. I am so worried. Nellie.
Message number 1. Found left on Nellie McDaniel's answering machine by Anna Carl.
Hi, Nellie. It's Anna. Thanks for the note. It's been a while since I have spoken with Perry. Now don't be alarmed, dear, but I can't raise him either. I did stop by his apartment this morning. I could hear something moving around inside, and I could hear voices, but no one would answer the door. Could he have left his television or radio on? I know he's a football fan, so maybe that's what I heard. Does he have a cat or dog? Now don't feel like a busybody. I know how much you like Perry as a boy, and that you often took care of him when his mother asked you to.
His father was a demon, and she was afraid for the boy. I remember you telling me that you used to buy him cherry Pop-Tarts, because that was something he liked. But his father wouldn't waste his money on sissy food. Perry was just a little kid, for goodness sake. Well, anyway, I'll keep my eyes open. Give me a phone call later if you want. I keep late hours. Come by tomorrow and we'll both try to go see if he's at home. Bye for now.
Message number 2. Discovered left on Anna Carl's answering machine by Nellie McDaniel.
Anna, it's Nellie. Are you home? Pick up. Anna? Anna? I will stop by tomorrow. We have to find out what's going on. Perry always came by on weekends to check up on me. And he would call if he wasn't going to be coming by. Maybe he's just sick, and that's why he wouldn't answer his door. I hear there's something going around and that it might be bad. The CDC keeps announcing something about a new kind of something or other. Oh well, I'm sure it's nothing to be concerned about. I'm just a worrywart. I suppose I shouldn't be so uneasy about why he wanted my chicken scissors. It's not like he would use them on himself, is it? Poor boy, he probably just has one of those nasty infections the CDC is talking about, don't you think? I feel foolish worrying. Well, see you tomorrow. Bye.
Message number 3. Recovered from Nellie McDaniel's answering machine.
Good morning, Nellie. I hope you get this before you leave to come over here. I don't think Perry's at home. When I went out earlier to get the paper, I noticed a note on Perry's apartment door. It was folded in half and taped, but it was just at my eye level, so I had to peek at it. I know, I know. I can hear you calling me one of the Snoop sisters, but you're the other one, my dear. Anyway, from what I could see of it, someone named Bill is also trying to get in touch with Perry. I couldn't read it very well since I didn't have my glasses on. Like my ex-husband Harry always said, "You're too vain, so don't complain." I never wear my glasses. They make me look old. Anyway, you know what I mean. But this Bill seems worried or upset, maybe both, judging from his note. I also noticed that Perry's old Ford Escort wasn't in his parking spot. I always noticed that car because my ex-husband Desi had a Ford Escort when we were dating and there wasn't much room in the back seat, if you know what I mean. Well, anyway, I knocked on Perry's door just to check and heard nothing at all. It was quiet. Not last night, though. I heard lots of screaming and moaning and other noise over there. I thought about going over there to make sure Perry was okay, but then I thought, what if he has the lady friend in there? I remember my ex-husband Frank used to be quite the moaner, if you know what I mean. Then it got quiet. I kept telling myself, Perry's a big, strong guy. He'll be fine. Well, since that note is still there and his car's gone, just wait and stop by here later on. I'll call you when I see that he's back home. I'm going to be gone tomorrow. I have an old friend's funeral to attend, Charlotte Wilson's. She was the younger sister of one of my ex-husbands. She was only 70. I think she came down with that nasty bug that's going around. Call me back or I'll call you. Bye again.
Message number 4. Found left on Anna Carl's answering machine by Nellie McDaniel.
Anna, it's Nellie. We seem to be playing, what do those kids call it, phone tag? I just went out to get my paper, and I'm glad you called and let me know what the latest is with Perry. I guess he must be okay if he took off in his car someplace. But I don't know that he would have a lady friend, or carry on like that. My goodness, young people certainly carry on differently these days. Why, I would never have visited a young man's apartment alone, at night. I know you think I'm just an old fuddy-duddy and judgmental, but Anna, I still think you went a little too wild after your fourth husband passed. Sneaking in and swimming nude at the senior center? Really? Well, back to Perry. I tried calling him several times and tried to leave him a message on his voicemail, but it was full. I think I know who left the note on Perry's door. It was probably Bill Miller. He has been Perry's best friend since they were in college together. I think Bill has been a great friend to him.
Perry had a lot of anger issues before he met Bill. I know it was because of the way his father treated him and his mother, God rest her soul. Bill has been a really good influence. It worries me that Bill had to leave a note for Perry. They work together now, and that means Perry wasn't at work. He is so conscientious and disciplined, he would never miss work unless something was wrong. Oh, I don't know what to do. I really feel like a Snoop sister, just like he said. But I have to find out what's happening. Oh, about your friend Charlotte dying. I am so sorry to hear about that. She was the sweetest lady, and she had a son, didn't she? I think he would be about 50 now. She adored him and was so proud of him. He was all she talked about. Well, dear, I will hear from you soon, I hope, and give Charlotte's son my condolences. Message number 5. Discovered left on Nellie McDaniel's answering machine by Anna Carl.
Oh, Nellie, I can't talk long. I have news you just won't believe. I don't believe it myself. I got to the service for Charlotte only to find out it's a double funeral service. Charlotte and her son. I was shocked. And it gets worse. So much worse. Oh, Nellie, they said Charlotte went berserk and killed her son with a butcher knife. And then the police shot her. I know that couldn't have happened. She would never do anything like that. Never. Why, she couldn't even cut up a chicken she bought at the grocery store, and now they say she used a butcher knife to kill her own son? I just sat there, and all through the service I was thinking, they must be mistaken. It had to be someone else that they were talking about, not Charlotte. The more I thought about it, the more I knew they were wrong. And so, after everyone else had left, I can't believe I did this, I went up to her son's casket and peeked in. It was her son, all right, and he looked so natural and lifelike, but he really was dead. And then, oh, Nellie, then I peeked into Charlotte's casket. It was empty. Empty! How could it be empty? Nellie, something really crazy is going on, and I have to get to the bottom of it. I'm staying another day here, so I will call you later. Now, don't you worry about Perry. He is a big, strong, healthy boy. You just make sure you take care of yourself. The CDC is saying that there's a bad new strain of Legionnaire's disease, or something, in the area, and everyone is to be careful. Someone here even commented that they heard Charlotte had gotten it, and that's what made her crazy. I don't believe it for 1 minute. Bye for now, dear, and please take care of yourself.
Message number 6. Discovered left on Anna Carl's answering machine by Nellie McDaniel.
Anna, it's Nellie. I don't know where you're staying, and I don't know how to get in touch with you, so I will just leave this message on your home phone. I had to listen to your last message about Charlotte and her son over and over. You are right. Charlotte couldn't have done anything like that. Why, her son was her life. Oh, what could have happened? How could there be no body in the casket? Oh my, I don't feel very well at all. I had a spot of gin earlier and it made me feel better. It must be my nerves. I am so upset over Charlotte and her son, and I still can't get a hold of Perry. I know I don't usually drink, but I'm going to pour myself another little taste of gin. Just a taste. It makes me feel a little better. Ah, that's better. I will wait to hear from you. I don't know if I'll feel well enough to go out tomorrow, but I want to stop by Perry's apartment again. I am so worried. I keep trying to call him, but he still doesn't answer. This gin really does wonders. I keep thinking about Perry when he was little. I found an old picture of him in his kindergarten class Christmas program. He waited so patiently for his part to come. Then, with the discipline of a great musician, he would hit that little steel triangle over and over. He was born to play the triangle, I told his mother. Born to it. He was so good at it for such a little guy, and he loved music. But his father wouldn't hear of it. I don't think he ever played anything but football after that night. But he was born to play the triangle. Born to it. Whew! It's getting warm in here. I think I'll have another little taste of gin and get some sleep. I feel much better. Night, Anna.
Message Message number 7, recovered from Anna Carl's answering machine.
Anna, I got up early and went over to Perry's apartment. I was so worried about him. There was no note on his door, but his car was there. Still no answer when I knock. I didn't want to leave a note. Perry might resent someone trying to check up on him, but I did ask the apartment manager if he had seen Perry lately. He said he saw him just briefly when he drove up yesterday afternoon. The manager told me Perry didn't look so good. He was pale, had dark circles under his eyes, and a big lump on his forehead. And then he commented that he looked like he had a really good hangover, and he had probably been in a fight. Then he told me, by the looks of it, he was getting ready to do it all over again. He told me that Perry had a couple bottles of Wild Turkey with him. I hope Perry isn't drinking. You know I don't approve unless it's for medicinal purposes. His father used to get drunk and beat his mother, and I'm sure that Perry suffered from his father's drunken version of discipline. I'm hoping that Perry will at least answer his phone. I keep trying. If all the boy has is a bad infection or that bug that's going around, he just needs some sleep and rest. I know he won't go to the doctor. He wouldn't go if his life depended on it. But I doubt that this bug is something he can take care of. Since before his football days, he always knew how to take care of himself. I just keep telling myself that sometimes even I don't answer my phone or door or rush off to the doctor when I'm not feeling well. Come to think of it, I haven't been feeling well. I'm sure it's just my nerves. I always get these little itchy hives when I become overly tired or stressed. Please let me know as soon as you get back. I hope you're feeling better. You sounded so stressed and upset over the death of Charlotte and her son. I hope you found out more about that mysterious situation. Things just aren't the same as when we were young, Anna. Not at all. Well, I will try and talk to you later. Bye. That doesn't sound too good for poor Nellie. Rash, skin condition. Sounds like triangles to me. You guys will just have to wait a couple weeks to find out what happens. I had to go mining in the archives again for this story because I'm rapidly running out of quality content. If you've got a story, please send it in so I can look it over. I'm happy to work with you to get your story up to snuff, if it's not already. But I'd like to do that sooner rather than later. I really want to avoid having a show date where I don't have a story for y'all. But I'll do that before casting subpar content through the feed. If you'd like to submit your story to me, all the details can be found at scottsigler.com/Tuesday Terror Submissions. I'll have the conclusion to Perry Dossi, Are You Okay? For you in a couple weeks. Now please take a listen to Mer Lafferty's new promo for I Should Be Writing. She does a fabulous podcast that I highly recommend for all of you writers out there.
Listen, I know how you feel. I've been there. You feel like you had a dream to write. Once. There were stories in your head that were unparalleled and so much better than the stuff you bought in bookstores. You would be an author. You would show them all. But maybe along the way, you got discouraged. Maybe you bowed to the demands of life, family, career. Maybe you just thought you wouldn't be good enough or that it was too late. But I'm here to tell you, you should be writing. At 5 years old, I Should Be Writing is one of the first writing podcasts. Author Mer Lafferty speaks to wannabe writers on the issues of keeping going from the beginning early stages of writing to keeping professional in the later stages of building a career. I speak weekly to professional authors about their work, their process, and advice that they have for you. There really is nothing stopping you. No, not that. Not that either. Nope. Whatever you're thinking of, it can't stop you. Trust me. Listen to I Should Be Writing at ishouldbewriting.com and learn more. Twice weekly and free, ishouldbewriting.com, because you should be writing.
But I should be writing. I should be working on my craft.
Thanks for listening, and I hope you enjoyed this episode of Tuesday Terror, produced by Morningstar Studios in conjunction with Dark Overlord Media. Music courtesy of the band Separation of Sanity. Check them out at reverbnation.com/separationofsanity. For more information on the Siglerverse, please visit scottsigler.com.